Techie Talk Time, State Representative Techie Chan of Quincy is joining us on April Fool's Day, Techie.
April Fools, Joe. We'll see how much of this conversation is real and some of it is not.
The joke is usually on us.
I think that's fairly accurate. Every so often, I think about doing an April Fool's joke to my own Asian caucus members and decide against it because it can be a little bit too serious sometimes.
Yeah, there have been many famous April Fool's jokes that have gone down in flames.
Also backfired on people in the worst possible way.
Yes, yes.
I think we can think of any kind of like comedian or show or satire, and people take it far too seriously.
Oh yes, years ago when I was a child, I remember one of the Boston TV stations did an April Fool's joke about the Blue Hills erupting like a volcano, and everybody thought it was true and called the police and were wondering how to evacuate, and it just blew up in their faces.
Yeah, people don't seem to look at the calendar and realize maybe there's a connection here to the our cultural love of April Fool's jokes and the local connections to it. So,
Yeah, so we won't do
yeah, so
that
I
then.
hope everyone has a little bit of harmless fun
Yes.
with folks as opposed to something that will take far too seriously. We're living in a very serious world who where people can't laugh at themselves anymore.
That is true. I find that, people are easily offended, so you just be extra careful.
Well, it's also people don't understand context anymore, it seems. Everyone's becoming super literal at one letter and another. And sometimes it doesn't hurt to just give it a pause and have a thought and realize what you're actually seeing.
Very true, very true. But so you're home today, right? So nothing going on at Beacon Hill?
No, I actually believe we're going to have a formal session this week because my understanding is that the Chapter 90, which is the local aid for roads and bridges for municipalities, is being teed up. I guess we're going to do it next week. They're probably going to try to time a session around the House Ways and Means budget release on Wednesday. And I suspect that's what's going on. But yeah, I had actually anticipated we'd try to get this local aid for cities and towns regarding road bridge work on Chapter 90 done, but not sure how it's going to go. I'm actually not sure exactly what the final amount is until Ways and Means releases it. And I generally put a little bit of extra money on the side for what we call emergency slash shovel ready work, where something unpredictable happens during the course of the year, and we want some extra bond money lying around just in case we have to do something, natural disaster related, for example, like a flood wash out a road. I mean, this is past lessons learned. It doesn't hurt to have a little extra emergency money in case you have a natural disaster.
Right, yeah. Quincy, as I recall, got like over a little over 2 million last year.
That's about right. It's just about 2 million. So the general rule I use is that if it's a $100 million bond bill statewide, you get about 950 to $1 million, depending on how, rounds up and down on the formulas. So I've always, as a rule, just under $1 million per 100 million on the Chapter 90. And like I said, we'll get a better idea as we move to next week what it'll look like. The city makes out very well when you think about the size of the city. The density levels and the geographic size, to get 1% is a 1% essentially
Yeah.
of $100 million. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait and see. Well, maybe next week we can talk more about that.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, once I get some more details coming out.
Sure. I saw the governor's office earlier this week released a statement in support of researching nuclear energy throughout New England, not just Massachusetts. I was curious about that.
Well, the funny thing is, nuclear power has been going away, except for some small reactors that you have in universities in the area. People don't realize that we do actually have 2 megawatt nuclear reactors, around the New England area for research purposes. But Plymouth is gone. Seekonk's gone now.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Our older 70s era. Nuclear power plants are gone. We're the only real country in the world, first world country in the world that does not do nuclear power in any serious manner anymore. Pretty much every industrialized country does some level of nuclear power, if in the replacement of fossil fuels in particular, because when you look at nuclear power, it actually literally has the lowest death rate construction and the lowest death rate as a result of environmental impacts. Understanding issues in nuclear waste, and if you take care of it correctly, but even fear of nuclear waste, it isn't like they're anywhere near inhabited areas, and this ain't the 50s anymore. We're not blowing stuff up randomly with nuclear bombs and hydrogen bomb testing, right? Those days have passed. So, there's a better understanding of the impact of radioactive materials that was not, paid attention to in the 50s, 40s, and 20s, the 30s and 20s. Actually, the first bomb testing really was during World War II, remember? But they had played with radioactive materials long before the first bomb. So, we'll see where this proposal goes. Obviously, as I talked before in the past, you can't build a power plant with no buyer. You're not going to spend like $5 billion on a power plant and there's no one to buy the power. You actually have to guarantee purchases to finance the plant because it's going to take like a 40, 50-year bond in many cases to do it. So we'll see where that goes. I mean, I know there's still a huge anti-nuclear sentiment. You can thank Three Mile Island and in the Manhattan Project movie for that. But it's, it's we're the ones that don't do it. And other countries that want nuclear power, are in a position where they don't have enough fossil fuels to begin with. They don't get enough sunlight and don't get enough wind.
I'm just curious if it coincided with the way the gas prices are going right now.
Well, it coincides really with the Trump administration impeding development on our renewable projects. So the windmills are going to be, I'm going to be start, stop, start, stop, given how the Trump administration is behaving towards wind. He hates wind a lot. And the transmission line is in the construction from Maine, from Hydro-Québec. However, that's not going to be enough. And those who don't understand nuclear power, it's a very simple concept of generating heat through nuclear fission, where you break heavy elements apart to create heat. Heat heats the water, and once the water creates steam, it spins the turbines, and the turbines generate the power that goes into the system. Which is why they need to be near large bodies of water to heat up, and then the water is not touching the radioactive material; it's shielded. But there is a cooling and testing process now of the water being released back into the ocean or wherever, mostly oceans. So it is tested before being released, and then it needs to be cooled down. It used to be not cooled down. For those who may remember, at the Fordham Bridge Power Plant, during the wintertime, it was a great place to catch smelt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm showing my age now because remember, there was a power plant on the other side of the Fordham Bridge on the Wayward side.
Yeah, it was the Edgar Power Station.
Yep, and people, I remember going as a kid, my dad dragged us out in the middle of the night to go smelt fishing.
Oh, because of the warm water there?
Exactly.
Interesting.
So, a lot of the concerns about power plants releasing warm water is it may disrupt fish patterns and other sea life, hanging around here longer than they really should.
Very interesting. Okay. So it's worth exploring, I guess.
It is, but there's a huge, as I kind of described, the practical issues of power plant construction. Whether it be windmills or solar panels or nuclear or even conventional fossil fuels, you can't build something without a buyer.
Yeah, so I remember when Plymouth shut down, it was because there was no buyer for it, right? They had tried to sell it and there was no takers.
Yeah, but you still need customers to buy your power in advance. So basically, utilities need to have a long-term contract with a power plant that's being constructed. Then it gives assurances to the stock shareholders as well as the banks that you're going to get paid back.
Needs to be a market, supply and demand.
It is very simple, and like I say, you can look around the world. There have only been three legit disasters, of which one was complete, failure, which was Chernobyl, and that was a Soviet style horror construction, complete total stupidity, which is actually physically located in Ukraine. And then obviously Three Mile Island was also attributed to shoddy construction, but the safety systems kicked in place to shut it down. And Fukushima is a tidal wave, after 8 point plus Richter scale earthquake, which could have been actually prevented if the backup generation that's fossil fuels was actually higher than the flood zone. And to
Right, to keep the reactor cool, right? Yep.
correct. Yeah, that is a unpredictable because if you look at the pre-Fukushima site before the flood, they had things like seawalls and stuff. I mean, but no one ever expected a little tidal wave.
Right, exactly. Triggered by that big earthquake. Yeah, it was devastating. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm just saying that, we're very behind the times in this country on nuclear power. The rest of the world has advanced much safer nuclear power. There's only been three major incidents. And even in Fukushima, the flood killed more people than the plant.
Right. That's right. Yep. Well, we'll see where that goes, but it's kind of interesting, actually. And I bring it up because today is the Artemis moonshot potential liftoff tonight. It seems that we're getting back to, 50s and 60s issues.
I mean, I love exploration. So in the deep ocean or deep space, I mean, you don't know to send people up there to actually do the physical exploration themselves. Robots are wonderful, but there is a time delay. One of the big, tricky parts of it is that when you send signals to an automated system, a robot system, there's a time delay between receipt and send of signal. And the actual action. So you're always looking at stuff in time delay. You may remember the movie with Mark Wahlberg on Mars, growing potatoes. Was it called I can't remember the name of it. Was it called The Martian? I'm trying to remember the name of the movie
No, I don't know. I'm not a big movie buff.
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to remember, but I mean, they had to do like a 20, it was like a 20-minute time delay on communication. It became a real trouble issue. And Voyager 1 and 2 are still floating out there in deep space. And it's 22 hours to get a signal back, and provided the antennas are pointed directly, in the direction of Earth. So,
Right.
on those, what we consider primitive now, but those, ancient systems are still running, leaving our solar system with 22-hour time delays on getting commands back and forth. So, having people actually up there. There is no time delay. They can make judgment calls right in there. Communication timelines still exist, 5-ish minutes or so. But, there's still, human decision making.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me because I grew up in the space age. I can remember watching, Apollo 11 in 1969 land on the moon and Walter Cronkite breaking out in tears because it was so emotional about it. So to bring that back and have, live shots of liftoffs again is really interesting.
Yeah, in high definition.
And high def, that's right. Not on my grainy black and white 12-inch set that I was using.
Yeah, I mean, I used to watch shuttle lift offs at like, 5 a.m. as a kid, because that was really exciting. Unfortunately, for science in some ways and the imagination of children, once it becomes too commonplace, it becomes uninteresting anymore.
Right. Yeah, it was just kind of an off comment. Oh, by the way, the shuttle blasted off this morning,
Yeah, and that's kind of how it works. When it becomes too commonplace, it becomes less interesting.
Right.
But the science will be fun because, again, you have the latest instruments you have today you didn't have 50 years ago. And the equipment and training is different, and the materials are different. And the science equipment is smaller than ever. I mean, they didn't have small transistors what we have today. And we have higher levels of energy efficiency on all devices now, which the space station up there already shows that. And we have better signs of infecting people because of the space station experiments on plants and mold and humans and et cetera. The era of sending dogs and monkeys into space are long, long gone.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Was there some events earlier this week regarding domestic violence victims up at the State House, Jackie?
I don't remember. I know that
Okay.
Mass Office of Victim Advocates have been sending us emails, bringing us great attention to domestic violence issues. October is actually Domestic Violence Month.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't mean that you don't have awareness days throughout the year.
Sure.
I honestly cannot recall right now.
Okay, I know here in Quincy, Dove does have their big fundraiser coming up soon. I believe it's in May, and they're the leading agency in that topic here in our area.
Yeah, and I think it's the dancing one that's the spring, and then
That's
they
right. Yep.
I think October is when they run the dinner, a fundraiser.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
They do a Christmas solicitation after that as well by mail, if I remember the cycle correctly. Part of the reason I know this stuff is because as an elected, I get everybody's invites and everybody asking for money. So we have you've heard me lament before regarding the challenges of fundraising for my campaign account, and a substantial portion of that goes back into local groups. And given the inflationary cost of doing business, especially for not-for-profit agencies who's facing possible federal cuts in funding, the request on minimum donation ask keeps going up.
Sure, yeah. I understand you were one of the speakers at the No Kings rally in Quincy.
Yeah, it was actually just by scheduling the last speaker,
Oh.
along with Senator Keenan. It was great to see a crowd of hundreds at Quincy City Hall. And we know, it was like what, 18, was it 18,000 people in Boston or some
Oh no, it was like almost 200,000.
almost 200,000 people in Boston showed up. And there was a lot of smaller ones throughout the state. People didn't want to try to get to the Boston. And that's a lot of people to be crowded in with, let's be honest, folks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's great that, Quincy, but also other communities had hundreds and maybe even smaller demonstrations, which is still good. And I understand that everybody wants to be in a crowd of 200,000 people.
Right, exactly. So there were options for sure.
Yeah, I mean, people like space sometimes, and convenient parking, and access to Dunkin' Donuts not that far away.
Yes.
Being a little silly here, but yeah, I mean, yeah, as I said last week, I mean, people should exercise the right a speech peacefully, get their message across, and also, keep it on the front of the news. These large crowds create media attention, which remind folks that this issue is front and center. And, I fully understand our lives are very, very busy. It's busy lives we lead, and sometimes we kind of forget what's going on around us.
Yep. There's already been pushback here in the state, across the country, regarding the president's executive order trying to ban mail-in voting.
Yeah, the Constitution very clearly states that voting is a state power. And unless it violates the Constitution's due process clause, voting, federal government does not get involved in voting. And even the Federal Voting Rights Act, the Supreme Court has repealed some of it, saying so-called mission accomplished regarding the end of like Jim Crow and anti-discrimination and our ability to do bilingual ballots in case, certain size populations. And, they kind of Supreme Court kind of pushed back on some of the revisions regarding equal access ballots under the Federal Voting Act. It's not gone. They just kind of like said that some of these areas are relevant because mission accomplished, so to speak. And the president's executive order again tests not just the executive powers of the president, but also tests the federal powers against the states via the presidency. And those of us remember Bush v. Gore back in 2000 during that election, the hanging chads, and those may remember before that Johnson versus Delahunt for Congress on the hanging chads in Massachusetts, which was actually the first case at a state Supreme Court. And the federal government decided that we're not going to do chads anymore nationally and try to get us to use Scantron machines in 2001, 2, and 3. They were passing bills on that. But they couldn't actually mandate us to change our equipment. They had to do it by carrot and stick approach, mostly carrot. They threw a lot of money at us as states. Here's a ton of money. Change your machines over. Basically, that was how we complied. They just threw money at us, and all these states started taking federal money to buy new Scantron machines. Obviously, there's no more money for federal government to do Scantron machines, but the st individual states, in many, as you guys know, some counties actually run elections, not the state itself. Are now at left to our responsibility regarding accuracy machines, and this predominantly Scantron. And those of us, including myself, that done recount locally, knows that unless you're under five and sometimes under three on an error, and you're looking for errors or marks on Scantron ballots, it's very, very accurate and very hard to fool. I remember doing my campaign in 2010. I got phone calls out of Germantown about my ballots, well, not my ballots, but the primary ballots being spit into a different box. It was spit into a different box because people wrote Tim Kaine's name in for governor in the
Oh,
general
interesting.
election.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, because since it was a write-in, it would have to be manually revealed so he could be tallied up as part of the total tally. So, I was having a mild panic, like, why are ballots being spit into a different box? At the time, that's how they did it. And it was a locked box, typical, locked box. No one has a key until you get a city hall, et cetera. But I didn't realize that, there were a lot of ballots with Tim Kaine's name in a Democratic primary for governor.
Interesting.
And, city would have to, city hall had to open that up and tally those by hand.
Yeah.
Because the scan truck can't read a name.
No, right. I can't read or write in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So, I mean, obviously we continue to advance in that technology. But again, this is, straight up nonsense at this point from the president regarding voting issues. And, I remind you all again, during the U.S. Civil War, Lincoln's and the state somehow managed to have an election, bit of a civil war, and you want to argue that Lincoln rigged the ballot box? You're more than welcome to argue that against McClellan. So the concept of mail-in ballots, and you can argue the security of those ballots. I mean, I dare you guys to go argue me how we're not less secure than the Civil War. Is a thing that I find a bit of a farce, because people don't seem to think that this is a novelty that we have today. It's absolutely not. And again, think
Well,
about,
I mean, military overseas have been mailing in ballots for generations.
yeah, but the American Civil War was a whole bunch of couriers carrying ballots back to their home states.
Right.
I mean, come on, people. I mean, think about this. So today we have the U.S. Post Office. We have better security. As we talk about the Scantron machines that go into the Scantron machines, I mean, there's greater accountability by board of registers, local officials, state officials, county officials, and there's commitment by your local city, town, and county, depending what state you're in, to do a good job. Now, if you don't like or don't believe that, you're more than welcome to go down to city or town hall and lodge a complaint with the various clerks and towns. If you're listening to this from out of state, you can unelect your board of registers or run for register yourself in some counties that's an elected position. So, again, election integrity is very important. I have a lot of faith in Secretary of State Bill Galvin. I have a lot of faith in our city and town clerks. And of course, we are elected, we run campaigns, and we want to make sure that everyone's not disenfranchised to vote. Everybody who is eligible to vote should vote. So again, this is complete nonsense. And we know there's going to be injunctions put in place because I can't see any federal jurisdiction not injuncting this, because it's pretty straightforward. There's a given very simple examples already of real examples of mail-in ballots and as well as cases.
Yeah, the Attorney General has already released a statement. The governor released a statement to that effect, that it's already constitutionally protected.
Yeah, and it puts actually Republican states in an interesting position, because not every state has a Secretary of State, that oversees elections directly, meaning the county elected officials oversee it directly. And those are elected positions. And just remind folks, in Massachusetts, town clerks are elected in some towns. There actually are elected town clerks in the state. So, if you're listening to this from a town and you don't like how elections run, you're more than happy to run for town clerk as well. I think we're kind of done, because the spring elections for town should be wrapping up soon. But I mean, that is a position that if you're in a town, you can run for. I just have a, even if you're like, just can't, this is not a partisan issue. This is a state rights issue. And the Constitution protects states on certain powers and rights. And this is not a partisan issue, because if a state loses powers, we're never going to get them back.
So it's we'll see, I guess, is what the Attorney General said. We'll see.
We'll see. As you can tell, I'm rather troubled by this, but it's also not their first attempt. And frankly, the population likes mail-in ballots. I mean, people who don't like it, they're actually not in the majority opinion. The active use of it by more than one third at sometimes in presidential elections of Lindsay, I think it's over a third. You know,
Oh
certain
yeah,
people
it's very
there.
popular. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very popular. So
You think we'll ever see online voting, Jackie?
some countries have played with it. I remember long, long, long time ago, Oregon was trying to figure it out. And some countries do it. Small countries, not big countries. Talking about very small countries. And those countries actually have a very sophisticated encryption system where your resident ID, essentially a driver's license, but a resident ID, allows you to access government services and taxes, your taxes and everything else online, including food. So this experiment's going to continue. The problem, as you've seen already with Iran and the FBI director's emails, the hacking issue is a legit problem. And as we move into AI world, which none of us could have solved, and better processing power, encryption is going to be a greater challenge over long periods of time.
Have you heard about this new substance called Kratom,
I mean, Kraton.
Kratom,
Yeah, I can get,
Kratom?
yeah, Kraton. I get been getting emails from these pro-Kraton groups. And
What is it?
it's a, it's it's it falls into the category of another mind-altering substance.
Oh, okay.
It's a drug.
And it's available commercially?
Yeah, it's reminiscent of bath salts, quote unquote bath salts, which it was also kind of a snuck under as a mind-altering drug because it didn't meet the categories of immediate narcotic under the law, because the laws, narcotic laws, is vague. It actually names and or puts the chemical formulas in
Oh,
narcotics,
I
so
didn't know that.
regulatory powers for other people to do. Figure out what those chemical compositions are. So, unfortunately, they're always something new that we've never seen before. I don't know a ton about it. I know that it does have some qualities that perhaps is addictive. I'm sure someone else listening probably knows more than I do. I've been getting a lot of emails on the pro
Is
side.
that right? Yeah,
Yeah, it's
percent.
not like residents, it's just it's like advocacy groups.
Oh,
States have been moving slowly to ban the substance. So
I got you.
I suspect as more states will go ban this, I suspect we will be doing it at some point.
Yeah, they're trying. There's already a proposed ordinance here at the city level from the mayor's office to ban it in Quincy.
Yeah, and also always leads to the question is, retail stores, they do carry these things. Do they actually check what they are before they put it onto storefronts? We have the same issue with THC drinks, which we're trying to address through the cannabis law in the middle of a conference committee right now. So I'm hoping it's a nice conference committee. But I mean, people actually look at this stuff and actually try it themselves. They put it on before they put it on shelves.
Is it, I mean, just retail, anybody can buy it?
Right now, it seems to be that way.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if it's very widespread in the sense of, like, does everybody know what it is?
Yeah, interesting. Does this fall into your committee?
Thankfully, no.
Oh, okay.
This is a criminal issue. It's going to go to judiciary.
Speaking of your committee, what's on your docket these days, Jackie? I know your deadline's coming up.
Yeah, we have an open poll due Friday of committee members this Friday, because our due date is actually on Sunday. And again, back to the lunacy of this ruse is that they never considered the fact that the way they set it up, it could happen on a Sunday. So
Easter Sunday, for that matter.
Easter Sunday on top of everything else. So we actually have a poll closing with members on Friday. One of the more interesting bills that's on this docket is setting up a special commission on the impact of electronic books regarding the cost impact it has on students and public universities. So this is a proposal from my friend Mindy Dobb, who represents Amherst. And was well, we did some adjusting to it, so it's a little more readable in terms of the language on its mission and trying to have industry folks and universities and library folks to sit on a commission to see what is the real cost impact, as well as impact on public universities in particular, because those of us, not even today, but when you and I were young, books are expensive.
Oh, that was the main expense actually when you were going to school was your book budget.
Yeah, and if yeah, and those of us who went to private schools, we had to pay for our books too.
Oh, yes, definitely. And it
So
was significant.
it was very significant at BCI, and then also at Brandeis, and then
Yeah.
law school in New England.
And you had to get new ones because the old ones, you could get older ones for cheaper, but they were outdated.
Because of the edition change number, they change editions because they
Right.
add like even small to it. And you know, what is those costs? And you know, some people would like to keep the books, some don't. But if editions are relevant, you know, obviously it's not important anymore. Editions are.
I still have a lot of my old textbooks.
I have a lot of law books still, which I'm
Yeah.
really questioning why I keep them.
Me too.
The internet actually makes it easier to find cases faster than ever. And in the state house, because I have a state house library card, I can use the Westlaw system for legal research inside the state house library.
Oh,
So,
neat.
yeah,
Yeah.
they have only a small number of licenses, but it's just for the computers inside the state house library and for
Yeah.
the library card. So,
Oh, interesting. I'd love to see that someday.
yeah, it makes it less necessary to have law books for legal research purposes.
Sure.
I don't know if they still teach students in law school how to look things up on books using key cites and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
I don't know either. It's been law school's 30 years plus 30 years away from me, which in itself is kind of a series. Is must plus 30? No, plus 20 years away.
Yeah.
College is plus 30 years away. So,
So what would this bill do? Would it subsidize ebooks or what
no,
would
it's
some?
just a special commission to investigate the matter
Oh, okay.
and then provide a recommendation back.
Gotcha.
If it
Interesting.
passes, I don't know if the special commission will pass, but it's going to leave my committee at least, and then Representative Don can try to figure out moving the bill forward from there.
Gotcha. Okay. Any changes in the legislature later this year? People retiring, open positions opening up?
Yeah, I mean, our good friend Vinod Howard won her a special election for state senate. Asian caucus member goes to the senate from the house. That's an open seat. We got wind that Erica Eidelhoven, a rep from Somerville, another Asian caucus member, is running for the Pat Jaylen seat, as well as Christine Barber. So two rep seats open up, running for state senate seats. That's the Jason Lewis. Is that Jason Lewis? No, that's Pat Jaylen. And then Kate Liberghetti from Melrose is running for this state senate seat that Jason Lewis has given up.
Oh.
So he retired too. And that opens up yet another house seat, and we consider Trump win another Asian house. I'm losing Asian members, as you can tell now, running for the Seth Moulton seat. That opens up the Andover seat, and actually opens up a bunch of chairmanships too in the House: ethics, global warming, agriculture, natural resources, ethics. Those committee chairs open up, and a series of vice chairs. I got word that Rodney Elliott, who actually ran for special election that state senate seat, but now Howard ran two reps taking on each other for a special election.
Okay.
I hear he's not running for re-election, which means the entire low delegation is going to turn over again in less than 4 years.
Wow.
And then you actually have also Ann Marker, friend of Steve Glosser, had a special election Tuesday, which I did not check yet, but she passed away sadly. During the holidays this past year. So there was a special election for her seat in Gloucester. And of course, people who win these special elections got to run right away because nomination papers are now opened up
Right.
due April 28th in City Towns Hall. So if you won the election this past Tuesday, you got to take papers out right away to run again.
Yes, if you want to, unless you want to just fill out that term. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you got a lot going on here. Is there any more people in the state house leaving? Neither the House and Senate. I don't know yet. There's still plenty of time for folks to make a decision. They will not run for the election. And it appears to be maybe 10% turnover, maybe. I mean, there's still time on the clock to see what happens. But your Quincy delegation at the moment is running for election unless one of us thinks otherwise.
Yes, I have heard nothing to the contrary. Yes.
Yeah, I have not heard anything to the contrary either. So, as we tick closer and closer to the due dates of submitting nomination papers, the more unlikely it is that we would not return.
Yeah. How about the executive branch? Any openings still there?
No, all constitutional officers are running for election. Still plenty of time for people to pull papers to run for constitutional officers positions, so it's a lot harder barrier the longer you go. And same thing, congressional delegations, they're all rerunning again this year. So, locally for this Democratic primary, the district attorney seat is the one that's going to be the most interesting to watch.
Yes, there's, last I checked, six potential candidates right now.
Yeah, and they got to get the 1,000 certified signatures into the secretary's office, with essentially 27 days or so left to get to the town clerk's offices. So we'll see who can actually get their certified signatures and then turn them into the secretary's office.
Speaking of secretariats, any openings there at the state level?
Wait for more changes. As I remind folks, in any state or federal government, as we get closer to election cycles, people don't really want to stick around for re-election, whether it be a secretariat or undersecretary or deputy commissioner. So don't be surprised if you see more change coming up this summertime. I mean, we've already seen well more than half of the secretaries turned over in the last month. Sorry, last year, the Boston Globe had a very lengthy article about the number of turnover and how Governor Healey is one of the highest turnovers in terms of a 1 year time period.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I can
Yeah,
think of
not
two
to.
right off the top of my head, the transportation and the energy secretary.
Yeah, and our good friend Ed Augustus, who I knew in the state senate, also left housing,
Oh, right. Housing.
and public safety left as well, and we have an Asian public safety director secretary now, Korean, and Health and Human Services Secretary Walsh, which still kind of question mark how that's going to go in replacement. So like I said, I'm not being critical, and I'm not trying to plug the Globe. I'm just telling you why I read the
Oh
article.
yeah, no, that's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I do like to tell you which article I found some news in.
Yes, no, it's, believe me, attribution is rule number one when it comes to journalism. Yes.
Yeah, and, whether people choose want to read that, that's your discretion. But
Sure. Yeah.
as you guys know, I'm not catching everything. It's just too much flying at these days in news. But every so often I do remember someone or some articles.
We always love to talk about the economy here on the show, Tacky, and the stock market is just a wild swings these past couple of days.
Well, it's contingent on the president's statements and the Iran war, and basically hope on what's happening. And ADP did their report on jobs. There was more job available hiring than projected. Again, it's a small sample. ADP does not represent all employers, just to let
Correct.
you know.
Right.
It's a small sampling. Unemployment numbers are coming out on Good Friday when the markets are closed, as well as the bond market. As you guys may have noticed, that the president does make statements and does take action when the market isn't open. That is deliberate. And you may remember during so-called Liberation Day, or like say Liberating My Money, last April, not just the stock market fell, but the 10-year bond yield jacked up huge in a very short period of time, like overnight. And the bond market at that end, when it's over 2 years, is not subject to the Federal Reserve. That is completely open market derivative trading. And the president is a real estate guy, and real estate people closely watch the bond market very closely. And they understand when bond markets spike in price for a very short period of time, something's gone really, really bad. He's fully aware of that. So, the thing that's not being considered, actually, I have a friend right now in the Philippines who's getting a close bird's eye view of this, is that what's not considered is the economic impact that this war has caused countries that are getting oil from the Middle East. So there is oil and gas shortages all through Eastern countries now in Asia, Australia as well. Australia is basically encouraging people to use public transportation or work from home. Thailand had ran subsidies for about a week too. The government couldn't afford any more subsidies. The Chinese government has already moved into its reserves and looking for alternative sources and no longer exporting oil. And then you also have Chinese wholesalers already announcing 20% increase on petroleum-based products, namely plastic, on export. Now, while we have reduced our export. I'm sorry, our import, reduce our import take from China, that doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. It affects the global economy. If this inflationary cost of fuel continues to impact, basically, if you add up all those countries, over $30 trillion of GDP. About the over the size of, about the same size as the United States. And their gas prices are going to reach, remember, OPEC gas line shortages. That's what they're looking at
Right.
collectively. We are going to, we're seeing $4 around the country. I'm aware that's between 3.57 and 3.80, give or take, depending on what gas station you're in. I'm sure, I got to take mom to the doctor. I'm sure the Pine Street Inn gas station is going to be close to $4.70 when I drive by later this afternoon.
Oh, right in Boston. Yeah, I'm sure.
Austin, there's a point where this is a non-discretionary cost for many of us, and as a result, it's going to impact our ability to spend on other things. But those data sets won't be available for 2 months, and that's
Right.
always a lagging effect. So even though even though it's happening now, the impact is months of impact as a result of actions today.
Yep. We're seeing price hikes here, but we're not seeing shortages because most of our oil doesn't come through the Strait of Hormuz.
That's correct. But there's going to be a ripple effect on global supply, which then, addresses demand globally, including our exports.
Yep.
Because we export a lot of fossil fuels. And as a result, it's going to increase the price of our exports, which then squeezes everything around us as well. And it's going to squeeze our imports in. And a lot of stuff they were trying to do, like weaken the dollar's gone the opposite way. And people ran from gold back to US dollar for safety. And it's the, I mean, he's affected a huge, one third of the global economy through this one act. And we are going to see, let's say US consumers will see this effect later on. And those of us looking for plane tickets, has already seen fuel prices going up, on airplanes. And if you're doing international flights, I mean, if you're coming from Asia, or going to Asia, you're paying the fuel prices not just in the US, but also in the countries you're coming from.
Right. And, I mean, diesel is even higher than gasoline, and most things in this country are transported by truck.
And if you're coming in through Tijuana or other Texas borders and produce, already got a complaint from people about the price of produce. It's because the diesel's up, and those trucks are coming in with your produce to the Northeast, and it's a long drive, so it's going to get more expensive, particularly produce from Central and Latin America.
Okay, more uncertainty to deal with.
Oh, again, I'm like you guys. My dollar isn't going very far, and the higher it gets, the further it is from me to use, to go into discretionary spending. I mean, I'm really have pulled back to a lot of essentials, and I'm sure a lot of people listening has as well. And I would like to take a vacation at some point, but I'm really reconsidering length of stay as well as a location, and when can I get the best deal?
Right.
So, I wish I had a better answer for you, but I really have cut back on non-discretionaries. I'm sorry, undiscretionaries. Non-discretionary like groceries and gas, bars the
You
only
have to
thing
have, right?
we
Yeah.
have, and we have to have the internet now.
Food, clothing, shelter, right? Back to the basics. Yeah.
Yeah, communications and paying like your car insurance, which has gone up like 20% already this year. I'm like, you're killing, this is killing me. So, yeah, I wish it was like good news for the pocketbook, but it really isn't. And
Yeah.
it's not driven by a state government. It's really driven by federal government behavior.
Guess the only saving grace is unemployment is still relatively low.
Yeah, we're in a no hire, no fire scenario again. We've seen this before multiple times. However, the K-shaped economy is becoming increasingly apparent every single day where, half of consumer spending in this country is driven by the smallest percentage of people, which is going to be very hard to sustain. And fuel prices are going to hurt the other half of us. We're going to reduce our discretionary spending. So, wages are not keeping up with inflation again. And they haven't made a little progress last year, but that's now been sucked out the window by this war. And, the president's trying to pass the buck. I mean, he's complaining about other folks not participating in a war that we created, nobody consulted, because he's literally trying to drop this on someone else. And that's what he's really doing. He's like, Europeans go in and deal with this now. You guys, have the biggest impact, but I mean, you broke it, you should fix it. Iran announced today that they're going to target American technology companies in the Gulf states.
I read that, yeah.
to spread the pain more. And and then you know, the strength of another aircraft carrier doesn't scare the Iranis anymore because they know they're in bunker mode, because that's what they're doing. They're not projecting out an invasion, they're projecting out a power of destruction. It's like Iranis gonna put boots in the ground anywhere else. They're dug in waiting for a potential US ground troops. You know, if you look at DW News in Germany or Sky News or BBC, Wall Street Journal, any other stations out there, news sources, the Iranians already put down landmines and anti-personnel equipment all over Bragg Island and all on the coastline. And our, you know, US capacity to remove all that stuff, 100%, we can do it. But you know, you also in strike range where a drone can hit you and you don't even see it coming because those things move at, you know, rocket speed at low levels.
And Iran's getting some allies on their side too, like Yemen and Hezbollah.
Yeah, well, Hezbollah was always going to get hit by Israel because they, you know, they really ruined the terrorist group, but they're trying to finish the job. And the Lebanese government is always been held hostage by Hezbollah, and the Lebanese government needs to figure out how they're going to take control of their country again. The Houthis in Yemen have been very quiet, and they're just waiting for a signal to do something. And they were never really gone; they were still being terrorizing the Red Sea, so they weren't really gone gone. But now they've upped their attacks to try to weaken the Israeli southern front, so they can
Right.
re you know, redirect away from Hezbollah. And whether the Israelis do it or not, we don't know. And you know, if the Houthis decide to take on any Red Sea ships, it's going to cause the entire area to shut down again, like it did over a year ago. And it's going to create more engagement, particularly from Europe, because the British and the French and the US were already bombing the Houthis, you know, all last year. So, but again, these are mobile people. This is not like a conventional army where you're sitting around your tanks. These are terrorist organizations that are very mobile, and they can move around and you know, stay, you know, not be a sitting target all the time. They just hit, move, hit, move, hit, move.
Right.
So, you know, Iran's
Right.
in somewhat the same way. I'm not convinced they got every munitions in Iran. I'm convinced that they're still moving their stuff around in a ginormous country. The country's massive. And their army is still fully intact with their equipment. And there's still proxies in Iraq, Iran proxies that the Iraqi government's been spent decades trying to eliminate. Still sitting in Iraq, hanging out, waiting to do something. And the Iraqis, like, still can't get them all. And they got the Kurds who want to go into Iran, but that could be a bloodbath for the Kurds because they're sitting on the Iraqi border with Iran. They're trying to make a decision. And I'm not sure exactly if the US is fully armed or not. I have no idea. There's reports of that happening. So this thing is still very fluid at the military level. And the fact the president announced two different people he's talking to, whether it be the Speaker of Parliament or the President of Iran, and we, if you know anything about Iran power structure, neither of them have real power. It's the Ayatollah. The Ayatollah's been missing since the claim that we maimed him in a bombing. And Israel has been tapping the entire surveillance network in Iran. They tapped all their cameras. This is how Israel knows where everybody is, besides having, you know, one person spy surveillance. So, you know, despite, you know, the surveillance network to keep their citizens in line is being used to find their own leaders to get killed. So, you know, there's a lot of question marks about Iran, who's actually telling the truth. And frankly, I'm not convinced either the US nor the Iranians are telling us the truth at this point, as they're both posturing. And you know, another aircraft carrier is a show of strength, but if you're the Iranians, you already demonstrated that, sure, bring another aircraft carrier, but it's not like they're leaving their country. It's another thing. And aircraft carrier is scary if they were going to like invade Saudi Arabia or invade Pakistan or something, or invade Afghanistan or invade, you know, Lebanon. If they were going to invade a border country, sure, the aircraft carrier becomes scary because they're going to bombard you as you try to cross the border. But it isn't like this massive Iran troop buildup anywhere. They're being very careful that they don't become easy to find targets.
Lot of unanswered questions, a lot of unsettled tensions, like there has been for decades in that region.
And there's also a PR problem. I mean, what is the objective, right? They didn't know the nuclear programs probably is a mess. They killed a bunch of leaders. They thought this was going to be Venezuela, but Venezuela was a 6-month planning operation to do. And frankly, Venezuela hasn't changed. I mean, there was a BBC report, very short, where a reporter allowed access. You can't actually get reporters in Venezuela. It's not easy. Without special visas, and they want to know where you are. So, but I mean, life hasn't really changed that much at all. It's, different head, same regime. Shell Oil's been given permission to do some drilling, but it takes a long time to build any kind of offshore rig. It's not like you just make one. Those things, are massive, billions of dollars, years to construct. So, there's a lot of, not a lot of change going on in Venezuela. So, I mean, he thinks that knocking off the head of and keep knocking heads off Iran. They have a whole system in place in that regime, and they're built on a country built on American anti-American philosophy. The entire purpose in life is anti-American. So it's not like it's anti-China. It's not anti-Pakistan. I mean, they don't like Israel. They don't like America. That's basically their policy of how they operate in Iran. That's the government's policy position, and they built everything around that. So, supposedly, other news sources are saying that isn't, coming from the White House, that it's only maybe less than one third of the capacity has been disrupted in terms of its munitions and drones and rockets. And the fact that, they hit aluminum plant this weekend, 8% of aluminum comes from one place. And that thing's screwed up. And then LNG, 17%, that's going to be screwed up for 5 years. There's a lot of long-lasting impact to the global economy that the U.S. has done here, because they didn't. I don't know what they were thinking. Other than the fact they thought it'd be like a Venezuela situation. And oh, by the way, an oil tanker from Russia made its way to Cuba.
Yes, I read that.
So while the U.S. is trying to strangle Cuba by fuel loss, a humanitarian tanker is donating oil to Cuba from Russia. And I'm sure there'll be more oil tankers now coming to the U.S. Borders because it's very rare for Russians to actually get that close to the United States. They're on the way to Venezuela and back. So after the U.S. seized a kind of Russian dock tanker, it was a tanker that was not really saying it was Russian too. It actually took the tanker, realized it was Russian. The Russians are now daring the U.S. to intervene, and the U.S. has spread itself a little thin by putting, not all of its forces, but a lot of forces in one place.
All we can do is focus on what we can do here in our area and watch the rest of it unfold.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case. As today's Wednesday, April 1st. I mean, the speaker, the president is going to make a statement tonight about, what, I'm not sure, because he's already said a lot. Again, it's an objective issue. What is the objective? What, if again, it feels like reality TV, right? Who's going to get the rose? It's very confusing how to respond. And, again, the Republican Party is the party in power, and the public is stupid. The public knows the party in power is the party responsible.
Well, we've got good things happening locally. We've got America 250. The World Cup is coming. The tall ships are coming. So it's things to look forward to this spring.
Yeah, it's going to be very busy in Boston, in the greater Boston area. My staff's like, you're going to go anywhere? Be sure you're timing around all these other events. The city's going to be hopping. And it's going to be good for the greater Boston economy. We've not had great tourism. And Quincy hotels and facilities will be used because obviously Boston will fill up, and all these surrounding communities around Boston will get the hotel motel tax benefits. Which is predominantly paid by non-residents, because that's the benefit of hotel motel taxes that goes to cities and towns. The state does not collect that money; it goes to cities and towns where located. Part of your meals tax goes to cities and towns too, as well as coming to the state. So that should help bolster it up, as well as create some economic stimulus jobs, and hopefully people are able to tip well, because restaurants are having a tough time, as we know, and prices are high, and unfortunately, people will pull back on tipping if they're trying to make ends meet on a meal. So, Hopefully that helps out the restaurant industry as well. So it's gonna be a very busy summer on top of the Red Sox has started, opening days here. And another marathon day is coming, Patriot
Yep.
marathon day is coming. So it'll be good for the local economy. It's just gonna be very, very, very busy. And this weekend's Anime Boston. So 30,000 anime lovers will be Easter weekend at the Heinz Convention Center. And there's a level of disposable income there, but I suspect they're going to be probably not as disposable income as they have been in the past.
Right. How do we get a hold of you, Techie, while you're still here?
Well, 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370. I don't control the suite. Stay online, the phone, so you can hear the options to push your way through the buttons. I hate
Yeah, well,
it too, but
your office is only number two, so you don't have to wait that long.
yeah, but I hate it too, but it's how it's well, it is what it is, folks. It's a phone tree. Room 42 at the State House. We are staffed, we have people who want to stop in. You got a problem, we're happy to see what we can do to be helpful. We had Broad Meadows Middle School come in. School tours are back. It can be challenging with large classes with 110 people. We weren't sure how we're going to manage 110 students with John Keenan, but we had a great time with the Broad Meadows students. It was very a bit of a logistical challenge. Then tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. I always say I do check your my emails, and constituent calls do come first. But I do read them all. We have tacky.chan@org, which is the resource page and contact page. And we also state representative Tacky Chan Facebook and corresponding Instagram. And interesting, we got our first set of interesting Instagram trolling. People need to be more polite. Let's just leave it
Oh,
at
oh gosh. Okay.
that. Yeah, we've been kind of making sure we don't want language out there that we shouldn't be using, and we've been the office and has been keeping an eye out for that stuff. So you put stuff out there that inappropriately language use will not we're gonna hide that from the public. Let's put it that
Good.
way.
Okay.
Yeah, we are sent through it. We're screening our own commentaries to ensure that people are not out to offend. Again, I don't care about being offended, but if you read it, you're going to be more offended than I am.
Right.
Obviously, we have MALegislature.gov, MALegislature.gov. That is the legislature's website. Very much encourage everyone, again, as I always say, create a web account. You can look at all our public hearings. The votes are up there. A lot of information is available. I know it's a little tricky sometimes. It's a lot of it, but feel free to peruse at your leisure. Did I miss anything? No, we're pretty much hit on the bases there. And of course, Joe in the morning every 10 minutes, and QATV.org, QATV@QATV.org. Please send a note and email about any topics you want to talk about.
Absolutely. I always love to hear from folks. Thanks so much, Jackie.
Talk to you soon.